Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is a question and answer open discussion show, open mic show, and our guest host is Robin Marvel. Before I get started explaining our guest, I'd like to tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, we'd love to have your contributions, and we certainly can use it. If you choose to do so, it is tax-deductible, as we are a 501c3. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially as getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Here at NASCA, we ask you to be brave, be a voice, be a hero. Be aware, be a voice, be a hero, be brave. Here at NASCA, we're fighting for kids and serving adult survivors. Like I said, this is an open mic show, and I really do need some participation. Oh, we have some participation here. So thank you very much. We know a lot of people stream in. If this is your first time and you'd like to participate on the show, we'd love to have you. It's very easy, very friendly group. The telephone number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. And I do have two people in the queue now, and I appreciate everybody calling in. And I'm going to go to the first mic first, and it is our founder, Mr. Bill Murray. Good evening, Bill Murray. How are you?
I'm very good, Tammy Schaffstall. Thank you for asking, and I'm looking forward to a good show.
I'm looking forward to a good show as well. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate the support.
You bet.
I put you on the schedule, so...
Yeah, you made me.
I made you, that's right. You would have been here regardless, you know that. Next, I have a area code 587. I think it may be a Katarina, but I'm going to open that mic and see. Is this you, a Katarina?
It sure is. You got it right. Hi, guys. It's great to be on tonight. I was feeling a little lonely, so I knew that I had my clan to call. So here I am.
Good.
Oh, well, you know you're always welcome. You always have a friend here on this show. You know that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. If some other folks would like to call in, we really need some participation. So if you guys are streaming in, I promise you, it's very friendly, very informative. If you're if you're new in your recovery path, it's very, very helpful. That number is 646-595-2118. I encourage folks to call in. Please do so. Bill, I was going to describe our guest speaker, but they're not here yet, so I will wait. Hopefully they'll show. Rob and Marva will show up soon, who's calling in from Michigan. But until then, we can have an open mic discussion. So what do you think, Mr. Murray?
I'm actually texting her in case it slipped her mind or something. So give me
okay.
just a moment, and I'll be able to send this. Sent the first one. I'm going to send it. She has a couple of phone numbers, so I'm going to send it to each one. But
okay.
yeah, we can have a general
okay.
a general show on
okay.
any topics you want.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read the bio of our guest who is scheduled. And there may be some things that may strike a conversation between us three. If not, otherwise, we'll await Robin's arrival, and we'll go forward. So our guest speaker tonight is Robin Marvel from Michigan, who is a survivor of child abuse, an activist, and an author. Robin has written extensively on healing childhood trauma and even offers some online courses on healing trauma on dealing with PTSD. Among her books, such titles as Healing Childhood Abuse, Life Check, 7 Ways to Balance Your Life, Reshaping Reality, Creating Your Life, Awaken Consciousness, A Woman's Guide, Awaken Consciousness, A Girl's Guide, Awaken Consciousness, A Boy's Guide. Call her with your questions. Robin has a lot to offer. So that is the guest speaker we're awaiting. Excuse me very much, folks. I have a little bit of a cough, but I promise you it's not COVID-19. I'm trying to quit smoking again. And so for whatever reason, when I quit smoking, I start coughing. So it should be the other way around, but it's not. But anyway, reshaping reality. I thought that was really interesting. Katarina, do you have anything that you would like to bring up or anything that I have described on Robin's bio that may have sparked your interest?
You know, all those things, they rev me up. It's things that I deal with day to day, and I'm sure other listeners are dealing with. And, you know, PTSD, a lot of it, there's a dissociation aspect to it where we're in this phase where we're like, did this actually happen to me? Did this person actually betray me? Sometimes it goes beyond that and we're questioning the systems that bind us and we're asking ourselves, does justice really exist? You know, is it real? Because I feel like the world is closing in on me or like people are betraying me. So the thought that comes to my mind is betrayal. You know, what do we do about betrayal when we confront be it childhood abuse or someone we put our trust in and they, you know, they turn up to be a wolf in sheep's clothing? That pain that re-traumatizes us, that pain that makes us feel less than, that pain that makes us want to run away or hide away from the world. Maybe that's something that we can touch upon.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I had PTSD last night from my domestic abuse. You know, my son, for whatever reason, in the middle of the night, he comes and barges in my door and he flips up the light. One of the domestic abuses I had was my ex-husband used to come in really quick, flip on the light and, you know, accuse me of stuff and abuse me physically. So, you know, I jumped out of bed. It scared me to death. You know, I yelled at him and I went back to sleep and I had nightmares for the rest of the night. And I know I was triggered. I know I was having PTSD. I know it. And it's frightening, and it's been in the back of my mind all day long. And you're right; some of the feelings I've been feeling today has been betrayal. you know, why did that happen? You know, I've had, you know, as a survivor of child abuse and domestic abuse, you know, I can be triggered in many, many ways. But you're absolutely right. You know, it just, it put me in a very uncomfortable state of mind to the point to where I had nightmares for the rest of the night. And that happens to us. Hopefully I can move on past it, but, you know, just being able to recognize it, you know, there was a time where, you know, I didn't label it as PTSD. I didn't understand what happened. You know, I would just, you know, wake up in a weird mood and, you know, curl up in a, you know, fetal position and go through a depression. Now I know what it is. So, you know, I've come a long way. What do you think?
That is really powerful. And yeah, I mean, those experiences, I'm sorry you had to go through that. You know, and I guess it's also mind-boggling how we kind of do have this conditioning in society to wake up and put on a happy face and, you know, be cheerful and suck it up, you know. But it's hard to suck it up because when you are triggered, your whole body, your whole state of being, it just experiences turbulence. Sometimes we're questioning life. We're questioning our relationships often. You know, we ask ourselves, what is this human connection that, you know, maybe once I felt before and now I'm even questioning if it's good for me or if it exists. And it's really tough. It's like a battle when you're dealing with triggers. Has that been your experience at all, Tammy or Bill?
Bill, I thought it was you, because I've already responded.
I'm trying to reach Robin, so I didn't hear with much detail what you were saying. I got the general idea. And I'm not having a lot of reaction, to be honest with you. You know, to me, what's going on is more inconvenient than anything else. I'm not traumatized by it, I have to be honest. It's just a set of things that I've decided I'm going to follow, you know, because I'm in that age group where it can be, you know, a little dangerous. I'm in my late 60s, so I'd rather be safe than sorry. I'm not in a hurry for them to lift, you know, the regulations and stuff, make it easier, because I live a pretty good life anyway. I have my wife and daughter, a dog and daughter, you know, and her kids, my wife's kids. We have them by, you know, phone, but hey, I'm willing to put up with this. It's not the inconvenience I thought. I mean, it's an inconvenience. It's not the stressful thing that a lot of people, I think, are going through, to be perfectly honest, Ekaterina. See, I think we already deal with so much trauma that it's really going to be a matter of an application of the same kinds of tools that move us forward, you know, in health-wise, just like we use for a recovery. And one thing you can't do is you can't shake your fist at the entire world or God or whoever it is and say, how come you did this to me? You didn't, you know, nobody did it to me personally. It's been done to all of us, and we're all in the same boat. And I think it is worth our effort to do things like social distance and wear masks for a while and so forth. That's how I feel about it personally.
Okay.
That's a really good point. Yes, that's a very, very good point. And it's, you know, that's why it's important to know what type of context there is, because we all have our own experiences in a certain time in our life. You know, maybe 5 years ago, I was in a good place, and this year I'm experiencing a lot of turmoil, and other people might be in a good place now. It's very important to have the context, what's behind it, but I do agree that this COVID thing, it's kind of nice for the introverted ones. I love being home. You know, I don't really want to see anyone because that triggers me. But it's a good time. It's kind of a bit of a blessing having this thing happen. Like, I apologize for all the people that are maybe struggling or they have losses in their life. Like, that is horrible. But definitely, Bill, like, it's very good that you have that foundation right now where you feel secure. And it's empowering because it makes me feel like, you know, I can get there too one day. Even though I'm not there right now in this given moment, I remember the times when I was. And it's having, like, people like you that can remind us that, hey, there's that light at the end of the tunnel. It kind of keeps me going.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you made a good point, Ekaterina, that, you know, it can be a sliding scale. You know, one day we can be fine, and then the next day, I mean, we may not all experience this because, like Bill said, he doesn't get traumatized by it. Like, you know, maybe he did early. I can't speak for Bill, but, you know, early in his,
yeah,
you know, in his journey, it may have been different.
I'll tell you, I did. I did. I don't want to say that this is not, I'm not shocked that some people are traumatized. But I'd also say I wouldn't be shocked if it was true that the people who are more traumatized are probably earlier in their recovery, or they
right.
don't have the tools that some others have. I understand that. I have no problem with that, of course.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm gonna leave for just a moment and make a phone call, Tammy. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna leave you guys just for a moment and make a phone call. Okay. All right.
Okay, I tell this story, you know, with my childhood abuse with my grandmother. She was my main abuser in my life, more so than anyone else, because she started physically, mentally, emotionally abusing me at a very early age, and I had gotten to the point to where I wasn't as, you know, I was so angry for a long time, and, you know, just not understanding. But then when she was in a nursing home, you know, I got to where I could visit her. You know, I knew that she viewed me as less than my sister, but I got to the point to where I kind of accepted it, and I would even go visit her in the nursing home. And she never apologized. She never acknowledged what she did, ever. And when she died, so much emotion and so much anger that I thought I had gotten over came pouring back in. And to this day, I haven't cried. And I know that might sound cold, but to this day, I have not cried about her death. I just haven't. You know, I did cry about what she did to me. And maybe that sounds selfish, but when she died, instead of crying about, you know, losing my grandmother or, you know, if she's lost her life or, you know, looking back on her life, you know, I'm like, I knew that I would never get that apology. I knew I would never get that acknowledgement. I knew that, you know, she would never see me as anything more than less than my sister. And I was angry, and something I really, at Ekaterina, I really thought I'd gotten over it for years. And here it comes pouring back. So I think events can trigger us as well. You know, the death of her, you know, her death, knowing that, you know, I would never get that apology I deserved, put me in a place that I had thought I was completely over. So.
Yes. Oh, Tammy. Thank you for sharing that. That is so powerful. And, I mean, when the abusers are part of our family, I mean, that is devastating, mm-hmm. right? And I think... Mm-hmm. Most of our life, we are just, especially when we're kids, we don't know, at first we don't even know what the hell is going on, and we try to make sense of it. And then mm-hmm. you come to a point where you get some of the language, and you know, you search for the answers, you get that EQ, emotional intelligence, or you come across a word like narcissistic abuse or a cluster B or a sociopath or a psychopath, which are extreme extreme or a borderline. And it's not saying that, that a diagnosis is going to, you know, help us make sense or define this individual. It really comes down to that bottom level that they knew what they were doing. They had a choice to treat us right or to treat us wrong. And if they were triggered, then comes the question, well, why didn't they handle it? Why didn't they figure it out so they don't further hurt, like, their own family, the vulnerable ones that were their flesh and blood? I'm so sorry that you had to go through that, and that's painful. But I do understand that desire to have closure, to want them to apologize. Those are years, precious, precious years that you probably spent worrying and in pain and in perplexity. I know I went through that, you know, and then you have to suck it up and you have to go to school and you have to go to work and you just put on a smile and you pretend like none of it happened. But deep down, you just, you know, you either go numb or you become antisocial gradually, or you become just even more vulnerable. You become a target for further abuse. Visiting your grandma, I mean, that's tough, you know, and her not apologizing. With me, it was my mom, you know, mm-hmm. and I tried to make a lot of excuses for her behavior. I'm a high achiever, an overachiever, and you know what, at the end of the day, you think that you can go about handling life, and the mother wound, I call it, when it comes to my journey, the mother wound or the wound, it doesn't just go away. It actually catches up to us. Sooner or later, it's going to come full force.
Right.
And then
exactly.
That's when we have to question ourselves, okay, like, what do we do now? What do you think, what are some tools that kind of work for you?
Well, you know, I am one who, I've never been to a psychologist. It took me a good while. You know, I went through the classic bad behavior, dysfunction that a lot of people went through. You know, as a teenager, you know, I got into drugs. You know, self-medicating, got in with the wrong group, married too early, married the wrong guy, married an abusive person, you know, had kids fairly early, felt, you know, uneducated, dropped out of school, and I ended up, you know, understanding, I'll never forget, understand, I guess the first step was to understand what happened to me. I read a University of Iowa paper, The Cycles of Abuse. And I mean, I'll never forget, I was in my early 30s, and I remember thinking to myself, my God, this is me. You know, these statistics are me. And I think that was a turning point for me to, you know, what had happened to me. It took years to connect my bad behavior and my bad choices to my abuse. That took years. But then I started, I went back, of course, I'd gotten my GED by then, got an associate's degree. Ended up, you know, getting myself educated, started, you know, trying to love myself. And that took years, you know, and that's a struggle. The first tool that I would tell anybody is learn to love yourself. Do not accept what people label you. You know, I have been labeled, you know, dumb, stupid, worthless. This world would be better off. Damaged, you know, that was by my grandmother. You know, my stepfather, you know, dummy. My growing up, my nickname was dummy. You know, my ex-husband. You know, I'm damaged goods. Nobody's gonna want me. You know, I had to marry you. Blah 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 blah. And I got into the point to where, and it took years. I mean, I can talk about it now like it happened in an instant, but it took years. to understand that I did have some value, to understand what those, how those people didn't have a right to define me, and how they did define me is not right. And it took everything I had through the years to build my own self-esteem. And my personally, I did it. There's nothing wrong with a psychologist. There's no psychiatrist. There's nothing wrong with going to medication. Those just weren't my path. The biggest thing that I learned to do is to love myself, and not in a narcissistic way or a boastful way. Although one thing I can know, I can tell for sure is when we get to that point and we want people to be proud of us and we start bragging about our accomplishments, we got to be really careful as survivors that it doesn't come across as arrogant and boastful. It took me a while to understand the difference of that. You know, being called dummy all my life, you know, when I finally got myself educated, I wanted to tell everybody, you know, I've got my bachelor's degree. I have my master's degree. I'm working on my doctorate. And I didn't even realize that it came across. I wanted people to be proud of me. I guess in the back of my mind, I wanted to say, see, world, I'm not this dummy that they've made me out to be. And people that didn't know my background, you know, acquaintances, it came off like, yeah, Tammy thinks she's all that because she's, you know, she's educated. I like you, an overachiever, because of that, you know. But yeah, and that I had some tweaking to do there. But the biggest thing is, learn to love yourself. Learn to appreciate yourself. Learn to understand your value in this world. Learn to understand that those people didn't define you accurately, and they didn't have the right to define you. So that's what's going through my mind. Katerina?
Wow, that is a very good point. So powerful. Absolutely. It's like you keep hearing that. Yes, learn to love yourself. And then part of yourself is telling you that, especially when you hit rock bottom, like there's nowhere else to go. Like you're at rock bottom, be it whether emotionally or if you have an illness. Like, for instance, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, and this is when my life started crashing down, and I couldn't escape myself anymore. I couldn't escape the pain. You know, and for others, it is being with another abuser, or it is having kids, because we want to escape it. We want to escape these responsibilities that somehow we're kind of born with. Like, no one is going to make us feel good. No substance, no person, even. Those things are temporary. A vacation is temporary. You know, like... Everything in life is temporary. There's nothing that's going to give you more of a lasting, happy feeling other than when you actually sit with yourself and you just start asking yourself those questions like, what do I need to do today to bring myself closer to who I always was? And sometimes you go back and you're like, okay, what did I like as a child? Because we forget what makes us happy. Or we feel like we don't have the energy, or we feel sick, or we have these obligations, or we run and we attend to other people. I became a people pleaser, you know, and I'm snapping out of it because I'm forced to snap out of it because my health is at stake. And sometimes I feel that my life is at stake with this autoimmune thing happening. And it's like you just reach a breaking point where you just ask yourself, okay, what is it that I always wanted? What do I want now? How do I want my life to look like? If I could create a dream of how I want the next 2 or 5 years, and, you know, make all the voices that are around you, just have them dissipate for a while. You know, your family's pressure, there's always going to be that, or your friends telling you what or who you should be or what you should do, it really messes with your mind a lot of the time. You know, some people like being social. They like that feedback. But, you know, when you create a decision that you thought was good for you because someone else told you it was good for you, and then you come full circle and you just realize, because your lifetime has started breaking down, that, oh no, you know, it's not actually what I wanted. I kind of thought I wanted that, but it wasn't. You own it. Like, no one is going to be there to pull you out a lot of the time. No one is going to save you. Even counselors or doctors, like, that has been my experience for the past few years. I believed in healthcare providers, counselors, all those things, because I was in the field myself, helping people. But then I realized that these are just people. You know, anyone with a title, even myself when I had all my titles, or my friends, they have their titles. You know, they don't, not all of them have a happy life. You know, everyone has something they're escaping from. But I guess my question is, how do we really learn that self-love? Like, what does that really, really mean? And when we get there, how do we know that we're finally accepted ourselves and that we're finally in love with who we are as a pure person, as a spiritual being, if you believe in that? Tammy?
Well, I think for me, it got to the point to, and I still catch myself when I don't put myself down. I don't, you know, if I mess up, I mess up, you know, and, you know, just that, you know, everything that was said to me as a child, you know, when a lot of those people aren't even in my life anymore, but, you know, I picked up the bat where they left off. I think when I got to the point to where I remind myself, nope. You know, I would, you know, think, yeah, Tammy, you're an idiot. You know, you know, what makes you think they're gonna love you? What makes you think you deserve that? When I started catching myself, nope, there you go again. You know, reminding myself, nope, you're not gonna do that. And it's a work in progress. I've done a lot of improvement. I probably have more improvement to go, but I think I did get to the point to where I did, you know, tell myself, yes, I am worth it. I do love myself, you know, because I'm with myself 24/7. And it's maybe it's different for other people, but it's been a work in progress. You know, I had something the other day. I was kind of depressed. I was walking with my head, holding my head down. And I literally reminded myself, hold your head up. You know, what are you doing? You know, I became my own friend. And I think that's, you know, that's what I had to do. I had to befriend myself. So that's where I am. Not that it works for everybody, but go ahead, Bill.
I want to report to you ladies, I've listened to the last couple of shares each of you have made, because I've got a call out, a text out, Facebook post out, you know, and an email. I didn't say it, but I reached out to Robin in every way I can think of, and no response yet. So she does know the show started, and I did remind her in each of those cases the call-in number. So we'll just proceed with the three of us. But let's put it out that we do need some extra participation tonight. If people are listening and you'd like to call in, we'd love to have you. And it'll be a general discussion show about any topics that people want to bring up. That's okay with Tammy and myself and Ekaterina. The number to dial is 646-595-2118, 646-595-2118. Now, we have no expectation of people who call in, Tammy, you know, we just, but it does help to have a few voices sharing the discussion, and you're not required necessarily to answer every question or query or anything like that either, but it would be helpful. I know that there are people listening, Tammy and Ekaterina, that perhaps could take the time to call in and let their voice be heard on the radio. So I hope that's the case. 646-595-2118. Now, a comment that I would make on the discussion you guys are having going back and forth is, you know, when I first got to recovery, I hated Bill. There was no way I was going to love Bill. I'd been doing everything I could possibly do to avoid feeling like Bill for years, you know, and a lot of it was really bad behavior. inappropriate to healing, but I didn't know that. At least it soothed me. Somehow, you know, it was easier to do substances or drink or have, you know, sort of inappropriate relationships or be on, you know, mixed with lower companions and feel okay about Bill because Bill hated Bill. But when I got into recovery, all of a sudden, you know, the way I felt about myself came back. So this is a journey, is the point, that takes you through a lot of steps, and then it takes you over the same steps again and then again. As far as I know, it doesn't end because there's always room for improvement. But at a certain point, you come to understand that, you know, it's okay to be a flawed person too, because that's sort of the definition of being a human being. But we want to not participate in our character defects and shortcomings as much as possible. And we also want to start learning sort of healthier routes to take. Like when we have choices along the journey, we come to a fork in the road and we can go right or left, and we go one direction. And if we go down that direction and it turns out to be not the best thing for us, we go back and we choose the left fork instead. And it's just like that. The only mistake that really you can make once you're on this part of your journey is to stop, because there's no such thing as stopping. You have to move forward, because stopping or taking the wrong turn brings up the old Bill, brings up all the feelings of inadequacy and embarrassment and fear of rejection and abandonment and all these things that make up who I was in early recovery. And I discovered all these things because they came roaring out. That's when they came out, because I've been covering them up for years. So the challenge then becomes, you know, in the acceptance of the fact that, yes, I have faults, of course, but I also have a lot of talents. Like Katarina mentioned before, I have to look at what is it that really pleases Bill to do and start moving in towards that direction, whatever that is. And, of course, for me, it turned out to be a community builder. You know, I like that kind of role. And so I've done it in many ways over a couple of decades now, culminating with what NASCA is. But before NASCA, there was my public safety roles. There was my healthcare community roles. There was we have what we call a neighborhood council system in Los Angeles that started up in the early 2000s, and I was one of the leaders of that, which was kind of like a very local part of the city structure, government-wise. You know, as I accomplished different things, I felt, you know, a little self-satisfaction. There's nothing wrong with that. Being proud of what you've accomplished is okay. Being egotistical about it's not, you know. Snubbing somebody's face in it is not. Using it as braggadocio is not. But actually, it's healthy to say I've done this and I'm looking forward to doing this. It's okay to do that. So I'm just saying that the process of learning to love yourself, it takes a while. When you get there, you can't stop. You have to keep moving forward because there's more to love, and there's more to do. Because you now do love yourself, knowing that, as we all do here, I know, you know, we have a tremendous gift to share with sort of the newcomer, the person that's in trouble, traumatized now, the person that's scared to death of the coronavirus, never mind if they had child abuse or not. We know things that you can do that can get you through it. We're actually the lucky ones because we've practiced at least some of that, if we're in recovery at all. And we have tons of friends. You know, we're not alone. Tons. I could call a Katarina any time, any day. I know I do it to Tammy all the time. Sorry, Tammy. But I could do it to a Katarina, too. And maybe 1,000 other people or more within NASCA. And so, you know, what do I at this point, what do I have to complain about? life is not a straight line. It's not a straight uphill climb, but it's an adventure, and it is worth taking this journey and realizing that there's always more to do, more to learn, more to grow, and all of that's okay. You know, it's not about having the perfect life. It's about having a better life today than I did last year, you know, maybe. But I stay in the moment. I only worry about, and I don't even worry about it, but I only concern myself with today. And I only make decisions in today that'll move me sort of, as I usually express it, towards the solution and away from the problem. As long as I do that, I'm in pretty good shape most of the time. So that would be my comment on what I heard you guys sharing.
That is beautiful, Bill. I'll take your call any day. And you know why? It's because I know that people on NASCA truly understand, and especially Bill, you're the co-founder of this organization, and what you build is an empire here of people who understand, because we've been through the turmoil at one point or another in our life. And, you know, like for anyone, I guess, like when it comes to that self-love topic, and maybe you started a project, for instance, that you've always wanted to do, and then your emotions get in the way, and then your triggers get in the way, and the panic attacks get in the way. A good thing that I found was to make a list, and not a list of 1,000 things, because most likely you're going to get overwhelmed, but a list of maybe 1 or 2 or 3 things in a manageable time frame. So if it's 3 things a day that you really need to do, or 3 things in a week that you know you're going to manage, set realistic goals. And it could be something small as, I don't know, I need to send an envelope over, or I have to finish this document, or I need to apply for school, or I need to apply for a job, or I need to go and get a face mask to protect myself from the virus, or whatever it is. It's that one decision that's going to make you feel better, that's going to make you feel more secure and more accomplished. And another thing that I think about is food. You know, because we can ignore that food doesn't affect our brain, it doesn't affect our health. But you know what? If you haven't been eating right, if you don't have those veggies on your plate at some point during the week, you're going to suffer. Like something is going to come about. If you don't drink enough water, you might get, you know, more stones developing in your organs, like gallstones and liver stones and all those things that they exist, we just don't talk about it. So it's the little steps, even though you don't want to do it, because many times when we're triggered and we're depressed and we're anxious, we don't feel like doing anything, you know, or we'll do something that's outrageous or something that will make us feel more devalued in some way. But, you know, even that's a goal, like to write on your list, like make a list. You know, and then cross some things off. And at least that's how I found some sort of normalcy in my life. Like when I get triggered, I just make a list. How about Tammy? Do you have anything you do?
Well, like I said earlier, yet again, I'm trying to quit smoking. Because I feel better about myself when I don't smoke. Some people are addicted to alcohol. Some people are addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to nicotine, and I've had to face that. I'm a cigarette addict. I can't just smoke one. You know, I can't go out and have a cocktail and smoke and not pick them back up. If I smoke one, I'll smoke 2 packs a day. I can't do it. It's killing me. I wake up coughing, hacking, short of breath. This is my 3rd day without cigarettes. And I notice when I smoke, I don't exercise.
I use it as an excuse. Instead of going walking the beach or going walking this or doing that, I sit on the porch and smoke cigarettes. And I like sometimes it's relaxing, it's soothing, it can be enjoyable to sit on the porch and smoke a cigarette, have a cocktail and smoke a cigarette, or be in a nervous situation around people at the little sports bar that I go to and smoke a cigarette. It's a crutch, but they're not good for me, and I need to get away from them. So what I've done to take care of myself is try yet again to get on that no smoking wagon. And when I don't smoke, I walk the neighborhood. I'll go to the beach. I eat better. I feel better about myself. For me, it's cigarettes. For somebody else, it might be alcohol. For somebody else, it may be eating. It may be, some other addiction. But for me, personally, Tammy Lee Schaffstall, it's nicotine. So that's, that's what I've got to stay away from, and that's what I've got to heal from, and that's what keeps me, prevents me from having a healthier lifestyle. For the last two or three mornings, instead of, because I could wake up, it's real easy to just give in to that urge, go up to the 7-Eleven and get me a pack of cigarettes. Instead, I've made up my mind that I'll slap my patch on and I went to the beach, walked the beach. Or, I'll go over to the health food. There's a little health food store up there called Juiceberry. I'll go get me I put it on Facebook today. I went and got me a wheatgrass shot, or do something healthy for myself, start doing exercising, going walking, just taking better care of myself, because it helps me to increase and maintain my self-esteem. And it keeps me, from putting myself down. Because I noticed when I'm smoking, I put myself down again. There I am, here you are, get smoking. And I'm like, why am I, cow-tied to something, addicted to something that ruins my health, going to make me age faster, makes me short of breath, and it also, brings down my self-esteem. So I could fall off the wagon tomorrow, but today I'm still on it. So that's what I'm doing for myself.
That is so powerful, Tammy. Yeah.
I got to say, though, that I understand the need to stop smoking. I have the same need, but that's a big one. That's a really big one. And I think what Katarina was alluding to, perhaps, anyway, at least the way I would express it is this. When we were children and we went to kindergarten, our goal was to earn a gold star for the various things that we did that were noticed by our teacher. And we would watch to see how many gold stars we got in a week or something. Well, rather than make the list of all, because I used to make lists too, but I'd make inappropriate lists. They'd be very, very long. And I would maybe check three things off during the day. And I'd look at that list and I'd beat myself up. Oh my God, look at all the stuff I didn't do. That was my perspective. Now it's, when I do something that's, on the right path, I give myself a mental gold star, okay? And I mean for everything small that I do correctly. So eating right is a gold star. Sleeping enough is a gold star. Making a phone call to someone that didn't expect to hear from me and just saying, I was thinking of you, is a gold star. Participating on the talk show tonight is a gold star. And as you can see, by breaking it down into smaller things that I'm capable of succeeding at each day, and each day I start with another blank page, right? but by the end of each day, you look back and you go, did I earn any gold stars today? And you know what? You're going to have, if you do it this way, you're going to have a whole bunch of gold stars. That's what used to please us, just gold stars. And, showing up to the room on time was a gold star, offering to help the teacher was a gold star. And all these things, they're still the same. I think we really can say that we mostly learned in kindergarten almost all the things that we need. Keep our area clean, gold star. Don't hit, gold star. Share with each other, gold star. Every day, though, we have an opportunity to start every day, and that's how I tally my successes is a day at a time, a moment at a time, each correct action that I take at a time. Big things like quitting smoking, that's just too big to appear on the daily list. Maybe it's too...
Not for me.
It's not too big to say, I didn't go to 7-Eleven today, Gold Star. That might be appropriate.
Correct.
But the quitting smoking part of it, in other words, you can only quit smoking a moment at a time. You can. That's the only way you can do it. So.
Well, for
anyway,
me, I've broken it. I didn't mean to cut you off. For me, I've broken it down.
Right.
You know, and that's why I said this is 3 days. It is a big goal. It is monumental. But every day I don't smoke. Every day that I don't go, you know, and I tell and I report to the people my little support to. You know, I'll go run to the bank, and my little receptionist, I'll say, I'm going to the bank, and I'm not going to buy a pack of cigarettes. And she'll shake her finger at me and say, you better not. And when I come back, I'll say, I didn't get a pack of cigarettes. And she'll say, good for you. Gold, you know, she won't say gold star, but, you know, good for you. She'll basically mentally give me that gold star. So to me, you know, I'm collecting those gold stars all day long on the same goal, but I got it. You know, to me, it's important. There's nothing more important in my life right now than to stop smoking, because it affects me. It affects my behavior. You know, I don't get that gold star for eating right. I don't get that gold star for walking, because I quit doing those things when I smoke. So that's the way I look at it. But, you know, maybe I just have a different perspective. That's all.
And Tammy, you know what? I can relate to both you and Bill. Sometimes it is about having that little mission statement. Like, for instance, it can be, you know, instead of going hard on yourself every day about what degenerate you feel like or what you've done, how you're not good enough, you know, pick a goal, because the world has so many things they need volunteers for. You know, there are so many missions that are out there. And even if, you know, you just wake up one day and you're like, I want to help stop human trafficking, or I want to help with the homeless situation, or I want to help youth that have been abused or kids. Sometimes it's telling yourself, I'm going to be a hero in that regard. And that can be enough to just kind of fuel you towards a new goal where you know you're going to help people. And to be this person, like, for instance, if you want to be a cop, well, guess what? You know, a lot of cops, and I know some of my friends trained to be cops, they couldn't do drugs. They, you know, they had to live pretty modest lives before they even became a cop, you know, because there's training involved. They pick certain people. Sure, there's some corrupt ones after the fact, but hey, once you go into that school to even get in, you have to be a pretty morally upstanding person. And that meant getting rid of temptation. And that, you know, that's a daily struggle, but they had to do it because they had a goal. Or Tammy, for you to quit, to try and quit tobacco, which is a mountain to climb on, but it's something that is totally doable. So many people have done this before. You're a living example of how you get it, you get towards that goal, and it could mean having drastic measures. Like, for instance, like, I don't smoke, but if I did smoke, maybe the shoes that I always wore to go for a cigarette smoke, I would take those shoes and I would hide them in the closet, or I would throw them somewhere that I don't see them. So getting rid of triggers. If you are spending money that you don't have, that can be another addiction, using those credit cards. Well, guess what? Like, time to maybe even some scissors out and have a ritual and just get rid of those cards. And I know it's easier said than done, but when we get rid of the triggers in our environment, and when we sometimes take those drastic measures, like if you have a drinking problem, taking all those bottles and just throwing them out and telling yourself, you know what, hell no, I'm not going to let a substance do that to me. I'm better than this. And just really have a moment to yourself where you feel like you're heroic and you don't second guess yourself. You just tell yourself, you know, this is my life. I'm going to have an amazing life. And this thing that's materialistic or this habit that's killing me, it's not going to get the best of me. Like, I am stronger than that, and I'm going to overcome it. And yes, you're going to have moments where you're going to have the craving, but you know, the next day you just follow the same pattern, get rid of the triggers, put on some meditation music on, listen to some, I don't know, YouTube about the topic of people that have done it, reach out to people like Tammy did, who are on that journey that can support you. And if you don't have anyone in your life that's supportive, I love iTunes. I love YouTube. I mean, there are tons of people on, you know, on the net or on the radio shows, like NASCA is on a radio show as well. You'll find the information if you seek it. You don't have to be alone on the journey, but it is your journey, and your life is worth living. It's worth being healthy. You know, because I think a lot of people have regrets, and they get those regrets when they all of a sudden do develop, when, you know, all their loved ones, or they go through a divorce, so they lose everyone that they felt was valuable in their life, or they confront cancer, or they confront death, or they confront like an autoimmune disease or any other tragedy. When you're at that point, you're beyond the breaking point. Like, sometimes there's no going back, you know? And if you want to go back, if it's a possibility, it's going to be more work to go back and be something a little healthier than would otherwise take if you were already healthier and had those options to kind of maintain your health and your sanity as much as you could. But I will tell everyone that's listening, and this is from my own experience, there comes a point in your life where your body says, no, I'm not gonna. You may want to do this habit. You may want to be a people pleaser. You may want to, you know, rage or, you know, travel the world and spend all this money you don't have, and it's going to come back and it's going to bite you until you stop doing it. So the universe has a very interesting way of teaching us things.
Right.
But yeah, this is amazing. It's a great conversation. Okay. I'm glad we're talking about that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to stop right there because we have two folks who have called in. We've got Kathy from California. And I'm going to open her mic first. Good evening, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for calling in. We really need the support tonight. I really appreciate you calling in.
I saw a post that Bill posted saying you guys needed support, and I'm here to support. What is the topic tonight? Because I just thought.
Well, we had a guest speaker who, for whatever reason, and I'm sure they had some sort of emergency, was not able to make the show. So we're just doing a question and answer. So far, we have talked about triggers, a little bit about triggers, and then we're talking about what we can do to heal. And we've had some tips. We've talked a couple of things. We've given some good pointers all around the board. Because, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. One of the biggest things that we talked about is, for me, and when we all agreed, is we need to learn to love ourselves. Hold that thought. I've got someone else, and they've been gracious enough to call in, and I don't want to lose them. So let me open this other mic.
Sure, go ahead.
And then we'll come back to the discussion. And this person is also Kathy Flynn. Good evening, Kathy Flynn. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm not from California. I'm actually living in Minnesota, and I work as a social worker in Minneapolis right now.
We have Kathy from California, and we've got Kathy Lynn from Minnesota.
Oh, gotcha. Two Kathys. Well, there you go.
We have two Kathys. Yeah, we've got Tammy. Yeah, so far we've got another caller. Great. Okay.
I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida. Bill's calling in from Pompano, Florida. We have Ekaterina, who's calling in from Canada. We've got Kathy from California, Kathy Lynn from Minnesota, and we've got a 570 number. Let me open this mic. Good evening, area code 570. Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Well, Miss Tammy, you don't know it's Charlie. How are you?
Hey, Charlie. No, I don't reckon. It's been a while since I've been on the radio show with you, so I forgot what your number looked like. Thank you for calling in, Charlie.
It's been a rough day. So, yeah, it's been a rough day. So I'm just reaching out for family voices and be around some people. It's been a rough day.
Well, good.
Yeah, we're glad
Absolutely. We have ourselves a show now. We've got a very large panel. So thank you all for the support. I really appreciate that. We have talked a little bit about PTSD, and I'll go back to Kathy in California because, she wanted to participate. She had asked what we were talking about, and I'll open it up. All the mics are open. It is an open mic show. And one of the recommendations that we discussed is what can we do to help ourselves heal and get on our journey. And we did discuss, the importance of learning to love ourselves. And we gave some pointers on that. How can we love ourselves? How can we take care of ourselves? What can we do to take care of ourselves? So that's where we are in the discussion. So all the mics are open, so I'll leave it to whoever wants to start off the discussion.
Well,
California. Does Kathy from California? Because I probably can't stay on too long, but I did want to call in to support. I noticed that you mentioned food insecurities, and I did want to give a little experience I had at the beginning of COVID, because food insecurity it triggered me with this whole COVID thing, because growing up, we were very poor, and food was very scarce, and it was just, something that I lived with, as a child. And so when this COVID hit and I was hearing they were out of this, they were out of that, one night I just couldn't sleep. It triggered me. It jars you. It jarred me back to childhood, back to all those insecure feelings of not having the food and, so I just, and then you talk about healing, I kind of went back to my four-step programs, and my higher power is God. And so I had to kind of go back through a little bit, because the way I healed a lot of my childhood abuse situations was through a 12-step program for families of alcoholics, because my father was an alcoholic. So I just kind of revisited those steps, and honestly, by the next day, I was fine. I was like, finally, okay, all right. I had to go through and just go. I didn't revisit every one of them because I didn't have to make amends to anybody or whatever, but I just had to go through and remember that, I wasn't alone in this, and that God was here. He would provide, and that I would be okay. When I was done healing from my 12-step program, honestly, I just put everything in a little box in my mind, and I only bring it out when I need to. So when I get triggered, it is a jarring experience, but I've learned, especially through that program, how to get it back put back in that box, So that's just my 2 cents worth to come in and support your conversation here. And I'm sorry your guest had to cancel, but look, everybody's that's calling in now, look at our NASCA family. It's wonderful.
That's right. Well, thank you for sharing that, Kathy. And I think I've been on the show twice when you've told your story. I know you've told your story more than twice. And I do know what you're talking about as far as, your history of not having food. So thank you for sharing that very much.
You're welcome. Yes.
Now, somebody else was trying to talk, so I wanted to give that. Go ahead, Charlie. Go ahead.
Yeah, it sounded like Bill was trying to get in. That's what I was going to say. Bill, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was just going to reiterate one of the topics that we talked about. We talked about so many topics, but we talked about making progress rather than getting perfect, of course. And I related to the fact that I have I had to discover what it was that made Bill happy. One of the things that I found was community building. And then I rattled off four different things that I did in my life, including NASCA, that were significant things that were all about, you know, bringing people together as a community, where I was privileged to be in some leadership position. Well, I want to make the point for every one of those that I did, I might have done 10 others that, you know, kind of failed. They didn't succeed, in other words. They didn't get to the place where there was any kind of, you know, blowing of a horn or anything like that. It's okay. This is a big part of recovery, too. So I just want to tell people that, you know, in the process, you're gonna stumble. You're going to go backwards. You're going to take the right fork when you should have taken the left. You just got to keep moving, because for, I think, the most successful people are often people who also fail the most. And I certainly did and do. But I just wanted to make that point, Tammy, because, and Charlie, thank you for asking me to share it, because it might give us a sort of a topic that we could finish the show with, as far as not striving for perfection. But we were talking about even the small incremental things every day matter, and we have to give ourselves credit. I called it mental gold stars, just like we used to get in kindergarten, for every single thing. And then we can look at the day, at the end of the day, and see a lot of gold stars there. Not everything, but a lot. And tomorrow we wake up and we have another chance. And that's how we build our sort of self-esteem, eventually come to appreciate and love ourselves and have that much more to offer others. So thanks, Charlie, for asking me to jump in, because I think that's kind of the topic, or that's one of the topics.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Okay,
Charlie?
Yeah, I want to jump in because I heard the PTSD, and today I'm really struggling. As a matter of fact, PTSD is kind of kicking my butt at the moment, along with my CPTSD, which, you don't know what that is complex PTSD. A few hours ago, a dear friend of mine, I found out suddenly he's a Vietnam veteran, survivor of Agent Orange. He was ready. He was coming up here Sunday to move some items to my new location and to move himself up here with his children and grandchildren. Died suddenly this morning, and I've been rough all day with it. I found out what CPTSD and PTSD is. He was the one who encouraged me to get to the VA hospital because I didn't realize I was struggling with it. And it's been a rough. He actually, I did last night's show, and him and I talked after last night's show, had a great conversation, laughed, and I was going to catch up with him, help him with some things today to buy his new house. So I just appreciate you letting me share that out there, because when it all happened, I sat down here going, who do I have to call? I don't have any personal family I could call. So I called Joe from NASCAR right away, and then just been kind of laying here the rest of the day. So I figured it was a sign from God or whatever you want to believe in that I needed a calling, because I saw your post, Tammy, and then I saw Bill's right behind it. So that's why I'm here tonight, just to kind of hear, listen to voices, and hopefully figure out what I can do for my friend's family who now don't have a father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, and he took care of everything for the family.
Right. Well, I'm so sorry for your loss, Charlie. My heart goes out. My heart and prayer goes out to you and his family, so thank you for sharing that very much.
And one of the things I do want to say on topic of PTSD is one of the things that I learned when I was learning about it and learning how it affected me, I didn't realize what's known as hypervigilance is actually a trait of PTSD and complex PTSD. And just for our listening audience understanding, the difference between the two is PTSD is generally a one or two time event you have that's happening, like it was traumatic, and it's based a lot on military and or, you know, adult experiences. Complex PTSD comes from when you have a series, consistent traumatic experiences. And they've just said a lot of that diagnosis comes from childhood experiences that happened over and over again. So that's my understanding of difference.
Right.
But just to understand, like, just natural things, say, like, I always have a tendency to walk in when I go into a room, and I like to be where my back's against the wall, and I'm looking out over the room. Now, I never thought of that as anything other than that's where I'm comfortable. It turns out that's how I'm on guard. I'm always watching. So there's things we've done that we're doing in our lives that we didn't realize correlate with our experiences. And it was very interesting to go through. I went through 2 years of training for that, training, you know, about it, and I've still got some more to do, but now with COVID, everything got shut down until afterwards. So just thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me be here. I'm just going to be quiet and listen to the rest of the show.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing with us, Charlie. I want to give Kathy Lynn an opportunity to comment. Kathy Flynn. Kathy Flynn from Minnesota?
Yes.
You've had some experience. Your state has had some experience this past couple of weeks.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say to Charlie, I'm really sorry about your loss, too, and I'm really impressed by your empathy. It's really honorable. Just a little bit about me briefly. I actually was conceived out of sexual assault. I was sexually assaulted as a child and also as an adult. But I was fortunate to be raised in a family that was very understanding and aware of mental health. So I never felt disempowered. I actually felt empowered. My senior thesis in college was actually about sexual assault prevention and how it could actually give you strength to move forward and take back your power. So I had actually talked to Bill previously. One of my papers I wrote in college was about this show. And this came up on my Facebook, and with everything going on here, I thought, you know, I'm going to give a call. And right now what we're kind of working on here in Minneapolis, you know, amongst all the violence and everything that's happened here, you know, around George Floyd, is taking back of power. We look at the indigenous communities. I'm an indigenous woman, and people are taking back their power. You know, we took down Christopher Columbus statue today, which was very symbolic and representative of, you know, the genocide that committed on Native American populations, which a lot was sexual assault. That's how, you know, I came about as well because of, you know, the atrocities that occurred. But you take people that are there and they are victims of sexual assault. Many of my clients are as well, and domestic violence, and have PTSD. But in this gathering of group of people that feel so minimal on their own, coming together, have this huge power and strength, and protesting in a positive manner and in a healthy way, are walking away from this feeling very empowered. And I think that's what I'm taking away from this today, and why I kind of wanted to call the show, is that regardless of what we're going through, and I'm not trying to minimize anything, things are difficult. And in the experiences I've shared, I mean, I didn't get to that in 5 seconds. I mean, there's work to be done there. But being out in the community, and there's many people that understand, there's a strength there that you can tap into for yourself and also give back to other people and not realize that you're actually doing that. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'd kind of like to stay away from the protest and the rioting because that is, you know, very controversial. And, you know, I want us to get focused in on more of the child abuse prevention and recovery and adult healing, because I've got my own personal feelings about the rioting and stuff that are going on.
And the only reason I brought that up is because there's many sexual assault survivors in the indigenous communities that were at that protest.
Right.
And actually, Rain was there, too, supporting those indigenous women that didn't have a voice. And they found their voice and their courage. And some of those women hadn't left their house in many a long time, and I think they need to be recognized. It's not about the protest. It's about the victory of a woman or a man being able to come out and support for a cause that meant so much to them that they actually were able to put past their experience of trauma and find their voice.
Well, let's get away from that because, you know, I have my own views of that, and I know everybody on the panel does. You know, I want to stay away from the protest and the heavy rioting that went on. So let's put that to the parking lot.
It wasn't about the protest, ma'am. It was about the sexual assault survivors that went and got out of their house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that, and thank you for calling in as well. Does anybody have any comments to make on what we've talked about? Let's go back to Katarina because I want her to have an opportunity. We've got about 15 minutes left. Katarina, would you like to comment on anything, you know, that has been shared by, you know, we've got two Kathys and Charlie and Bill. Go ahead.
My God, like such great conversations. And, you know, I'm really glad that Charlie called because Charlie – I don't know if anyone listened in when Charlie is on, but he always lifts my spirits high. And he's a real, just a really, really good soul, an inspiring soul, an optimistic soul. And I'm glad that this group can be here for you, Charlie, a little bit, just to support you and give you a bit of, give you the support that you always give to others. And as for the Cassies, I love that we have two Cassies on tonight. It's almost like a twin cult. I kind of love it. And I do want to say that everyone goes about speaking up their truth in their own way. Speaking up your truth and standing up for yourself, it can be violent. It can be outrageous. It can be aggressive. But it could also be like Gandhi did, which is peaceful. And we all kind of find ourselves in our own way rebelling against the injustices that we face at one point or another. And it's a journey for us to actually get to that point where we are not violent and where we're not aggressive and where we can just approach these injustices in a very calm, solid, in our own truth type of way. We can be compassionate, but we can be stern at the same time. And that is a skill. Not everyone is there. Not everyone has the language or just the ability to be in that space. Right. You know, I like to honor everyone that is on their journey. There's no wrong. There's no right. But it's just a journey. But it's wonderful, all these conversations that we had. So that's
absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that. I do want to pick up. We do have another caller who was called in from area code 505. Area code 505, who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
My name is Ellie.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
Eliana. Ellie.
Eliana? Hi, how are
Ellie.
You? Welcome
I
to
know,
the
Ellie.
NASCA show.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
It's Bill.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Welcome.
And Marie finally convinced me to call in.
Yeah. Well, we've got quite a heavy panel now. We've had some very good, rigorous, emotional discussions tonight, and I'm thankful for each and every one of them, and I'm thankful for everyone who was called in tonight. Where is area code 505?
That is New Mexico.
New Mexico. Well, thank you for calling in from New Mexico. We've had quite the discussion. If anybody wants to make a comment, now, Kathy in California, you had mentioned that you might not be able to stay on the show very long. Of course, we've only got 10 minutes. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make on what's been discussed or anything? Kathy, California?
First of all, I want to give my condolences to Charlie for the loss of his friend and cede my time over to him. I think he needs our support right now and our love. And I would rather him be able to speak than me at this point. So, give it over to Charlie.
Give it over to Charlie. Charlie, you got the mic, my friend.
All right. Well, Kathy, my sister Kathy Jones in California, thank you so much. Kathy Flynn, I support what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, and I definitely want to touch base with you after the show. Folks, what comes out of everything today is, you know, if you think you need to reach out to somebody, just do it. Don't second think it. Don't think, should I, or maybe I can wait, or I'll see them this weekend. Because early this morning, I was like, man, I called my buddy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk to him later today because he's going to pick up the paperwork and we're going to be here this Sunday and we'll get the house set up, you know, start getting his house set up. It taxes heavy on your mind later. I mean, there's nothing we can do that's perfect. But there's always something we do. So, again, my thing is just really, and I want to say, Katharina, thank you so much. Bill, Kathy, Tammy, Illy from New Mexico. Is there an Old Mexico, by the way? Yes, I do have a sense of humor. You got to be able to laugh a little. Gary would want me to laugh. I just want to share a minute about Gary, and I'm getting some feedback. I don't know why. But I want to share a little bit about Gary. Gary was a Vietnam veteran who served our country and suffered his entire adult life from the effects of Agent Orange. Yet while he suffered, his family, This man helped numerous people around the country. He would, if he saw someone in need, he literally went and took care of it. He didn't go try to find someone else to take care of it. He went and he helped multitudes of people, and mostly child abuse victims, survivors of domestic violence. Gary's heart was so huge that he was a living testimony to me of an angel to walk on the earth. That's what the legacy he's leaving behind is just that. He was able to get custody of this two of his grandchildren that were being abused after he called me and asked me, what do I do? How do I help? How can I help them? And I worked with him. And so Gary was a champion for all of us out here in the Nasca family. Gary himself wasn't abused as a child, but he saw the effects of abuse. And Gary was a guy, I'll tell you what, him and I agreed to disagree on, and we're not going there on political issues, but we agreed to disagree on political issues. But when it came time to stand next to, when you needed somebody to stand next to you for a rally, for anything, Gary traveled many places with me, despite his legs not working properly, despite having amputated portions of his feet because of the diabetes as a result of Agent Orange. He was there, and he's sorely missed, and I don't know what his family, literally 2 weeks from today, that he was supposed to settle on a house, and he was buying it for he was going to live in it, but he was buying it for his family so they had something, they would have something in his memory after he's gone, and now he's gone before it got done. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here and share that. But, you know, today the Child Abuse Prevention and Intervention World lost a warrior, lost a transcender, and lost a dear friend.
Well, I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so sorry. Oh, my heart goes out to you.
I'm so sorry, Charlie. So sorry. My condolences.
No, you know what? He's up there hanging with my brother right now, so that's kind of cool. You know, my brother got my best friend. You know, but thanks, guys. I love all of you to life, and I don't want to make this show about me, but I really wanted to, you know, this man did so much and never wanted, like, I would try to tell him, Gary, come on the radio with me. Gary. You know, no, Charlie, I don't need people to know what I did. But he did.
Right.
Because it's champions like him. It's this man, in 2014, if any of you remember, back then what I was going through, I had lost everything I owned because of a stupid mistake I made or choice I chose. This man came out, drove 2 hours to where I lived, got a truck and a trailer, and drove 1,000 miles into across the country.
Right.
To help me get some of my stuff so I wouldn't lose anything, or I would lose less than what I was going to lose. I mean, this, and he did it because of the fight we do for children. He was proud of NASCA. We talked about NASCA. He knew everything I did. He did not want his face out there because he said, people don't need to know what I do. I just like to do what I do. And if more people would just take that stand, you know, just do something. Man, your child's screaming for you right now. Abuse is on the rise, despite it not being reported. And we need to be out there. So, okay, I'll be quiet now. Thanks.
Yeah, everybody can do something to support the survivor community and to bring awareness to child abuse. My friend Dan Hillman, that's his famous saying, everybody can do something about child abuse. And I'm a firm believer of that. And it's important for us to have a support system. That's something that we talked about earlier, having a good support system. So, and I'm so sorry you lost a valuable one to you, Charlie. I really am. We've only got a few minutes left. We got about 6 minutes left. I want to give Illy from New Mexico an opportunity to chime in. Illy, do you have any comments that you'd like to make?
Oh, dear. Well, I only just I just got the tail end of it, so I'm not even sure what you think you're talking about.
That's okay. Well, I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak. And then I wanted to go back to Kathy Lynn. Kathy, do you have any comments or opportunity to give you to make a comment on Charlie or anything else that we've discussed?
No, apparently what I said wasn't to your liking, so I'm going to just step back and have my client call another arena. Thank you. I think that what you did actually shut somebody down that had the courage to speak up. I was setting up the forte for her.
Okay.
From the right. It wasn't about the right. It was about her courage getting out and doing that. And you shut her down, and shame on you for silencing a victim in this forum. Shame on you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
No, you did damage. shame on you.
Okay.
Well,
I've just cut her mic. I'm sorry she feels that way. This is not a political arena. And if it was misunderstood, I'm sorry. But that's just the way I felt. And I am the host tonight. So I wanted to thank everybody to call in. And, you know, Katarina, thank you for calling in. We've had quite the discussion early on. Bill, I'm going to turn it over to you. Do you have any comments?
Well, I just want to make note of the fact that, you know, sometimes I'm ineloquent and so forth in explaining what we do here, but we are careful not to bring up any kind of outside issue that might be controversial on account of we're all individuals that have our own backgrounds and interests. But what we have in common is the single issue that we talk about, and that's child abuse and trauma. It's prevention, intervention, and recovery. So all the topics on the show relate to that, and sometimes we bring in an outside issue and touch on it, but that doesn't mean we're going to delve into it. It just means that it's part of the telling of the story. I hope Kathy will call back in the future. She wrote apparently a paper for school that got it got a very good grade all about the radio show, and she loved the radio show. And you know, there's a lot to love. So that's all. I just want to point out that this is true of everything we do here. We don't bring in outside issues. We call them outside issues, but, you know, we wouldn't talk about abortion rights. We wouldn't talk about politics. We wouldn't talk about gun rights or, you know, anything like that, because they are controversial to some degree. And, you know, we want to stick to the one thing we do, which is discussions of child abuse and trauma. So, That's all that was about. I am very happy to see the people that showed up once I posted the message that we needed NASCA members, I said, to take more seriously the opportunity to serve. That's what this is. When you call in on a panel, you're actually serving the group, the whole group, everybody in the group. And, of course, you're also helping the host who may be here alone. Sometimes there's a – I've done shows alone. Not many, but we fixed that by having a second person, like I am tonight, the trailer, we call it. And then our guest didn't show up. So we were really down to three people because Katarina called in. But I'm so appreciative of you guys understanding the need to participate and see it as a service. You know, it's like outreach.
Right.
It's part of outreach. So I'm very, very grateful. Okay?
Well, I am too, because, you know, I'm sure Robin, our guest speaker, I'm sure something happened where she was not able to come on the show. Hopefully she can reschedule. But I'm like Bill. I'm very grateful for the people who have called in. Charlie, my heart goes out to you. When Katarina called in, she said the same thing, not to the point of losing a friend, but she was like, I'm feeling down today. I had to reach out to my NASCA family, and we had quite the discussion. So it's nice to have a group of survivors that we can call in and support each other and give each other encouragement. And then we've got our friend Kathy in California who – I just got the 90-second mark, who saw that there was a need and reached out to us and shared some painful memories. So I'm very grateful. And our friend in Ely in New Mexico, thank you for calling in to support us. I'm really appreciative. And I'm sorry that Kathy Flynn in Minnesota got her feelings hurt. I just think that's just too controversial, and I appreciate what you said, Bill. You know, I wanted to focus in on the group. So thank you for that support.
Right. Can I? This is Charlie, real quick.
Okay.
This is gonna be like 5 seconds. I don't know. I think the gist of what Kathy Flynn was trying to get across got missed in when she put in the fact about the Columbus statue. But I think it was she wanted social support for somebody who had been through a traumatic situation. But that's all I'm gonna say about that. That's all, and I'm gonna be quiet. Thank you.
Okay.
Right, Charlie,
well, all
right.
I heard is Yeah, protests and riots and, you know, taking down one of our statues that was meaningful to me. I am Indian, so I wanted to stay away from that because I'm upset about that statue coming down. So that's why I wanted to get away from that. You know, her friend, I certainly want encouragement for that. So anyway, I want to go ahead and end the show and say God bless the children of the world and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Good night, everybody.
Thanks.
I'll know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.